Would you go with me, please, to 1 Chronicles, Matthew, Mark, Chronicles? No, I'm kidding. Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. You'll find in your Bibles in the Old Testament that your history books go in the order of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then on to 1 and 2 Chronicles. While you're turning, let me just remind you that 2 weeks ago we spoke about David, the man of God's presence, and we talked about the Ark of God's presence. Anybody remember what the Ark is? Okay, Pat, if you'd put that up. The Ark of God's presence is that which represented God. You have the cherubim overseeing the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where God said he would meet with man. And you have the wooden staves on which the priests carried the ark in the Old Testament. And so it was important. This represented the presence of God to the people. And the Levites, the particular priests, were supposed to carry this ark. And we find that, if you've done any research, by the way, let me just update you a little bit, because if some of you have done some research since we last spoke, you're going to find commentaries don't all agree on the timeline of King David and how old Saul and David and Samuel were. And they don't all agree on how long this ark was gone from Israel, tucked away to the side. Some commentaries say, and I spoke about it last week, and it's 120 years that they hadn't sought after the Ark of Israel. There are others very strongly saying it was 70 years that it was turned aside to other places in the wanderings. And I'll talk a little bit about it, but I don't want to get lost in the history. Others say 20 years. The issue isn't the number of years. The issue is Israel lived without the Ark in their tabernacle in the wilderness, the place where they were supposed to meet with God. But the ark wasn't there for at least 20 years, possibly 70 and possibly 120 years. Remember I spoke about Kirjath-Jearim. You say that real quick. Kirjath-Jearim, where the ark was turned aside. And remember, even now, this is still a city in Israel, right down the highway. And up on this hill in the 5th century, they built a major church there with a huge statue of Mary standing on the ark, because it was important for them to declare to people, the ark was here for a long time. Only nobody knows it's there. What they did find, and what they do have, is a 16-foot-tall statue of Elvis outside a cafe in that city, and everybody comes from miles around to get pictures taken. Kind of a less-than-stellar replacement. Amen? But the Ark of God. Okay, Pat, thank you. So the issue isn't necessarily the exact chronology and the number of years. The issue is the heart. David was a man after God's heart, a man after God's presence. How many in this room want to be a man and woman after the presence of God? We want your presence, Lord. As you may recall, a little history, that when they did have the Ark of God go out with Israel's armies, the Philistines captured that Ark. Remember? The Ark comes into the camp of Israel. Everybody shouts because they believe they've got the victory. How many understand God isn't necessarily with you because you've got a nice building? And God isn't necessarily with you because you wear a tie. Good thing. God isn't necessarily with you because you sing the right songs. God wants to be worshipped God's way. God's way. So it behooves us to say, okay, Lord, what is your way? How are we to approach you? What are we to do? What does the Bible tell us? We want to live according to the Scripture, right? Now, that's rare in today's society. Everybody's got your truth, my truth, his truth, nothing but the truth, and not much of it is the truth, right? But the plumb line of life is from the Word of God. His Word is truth. So what does he say to do? Well, after the Philistines got the ark captured, you remember the story? They had it for how long? How many months? 7 months. That's right. Who said that? Nobody. Okay, 7 months. So after 7 months, the ark kept, you know, they put it in one room and a statue of their God would fall down. And then they'd break the statue and the next morning they'd go in and the hands were cut off and the head of that statue is cut off. They move it around and everywhere they went, people were breaking out in plagues, etc. So they send the ark back and it goes into Israel and some people of Israel look into it and don't respect the ark and many of them die. So the ark goes aside to Kirjath Jearim. And it's there for a long time. The ark remained throughout the judgeship of Samuel and the reign of Saul. So David comes to the kingship. And David wants the presence of God. And David brings the ark. Go ahead and put that up again, please, one more time, Pat. Thank you so much. David brings the ark, and he doesn't put it in the tabernacle of Moses. There's priests still out there doing their thing, doing the incense, etc. And then there are three compartments. Remember, the tabernacle of Moses, where they worship God in the wilderness. There's this outer court where the sacrifices would take place. Then there's the holy court. All has New Testament meaning. But the holy place, and then there was the most holy place. And that's where the ark was supposed to be. Only they were doing all this stuff, and the ark wasn't there. But David wants the presence of God. So David just puts up a tent. He says, I want God so much. You remember he did it wrong way. Then he went back, did it the right way. And he just puts the ark of God in his open tent. And he sets up worshipers and choirs and people. And he goes, man, we're going to just enjoy the presence of God. And guess what? God was there. Because God wants to dwell with people who want Him. Come on, church. Do you want God?
Amen.
You want the presence of God in your life? Oh, God, I want to be with you. And God says, okay, you want to be with me? Be cleaned by the blood. Get all the sin taken care of. Is all that done? Yes, I'm there.
Yeah.
Where two or more are gathered in my name. How many of you know God's here this morning?
Yes.
Because we want to set up His ark in the middle of our tent. Amen?
Amen?
So he brings back the ark of God. He sets it up in a tent that he set up in Jerusalem. The priests are still functioning back in the tabernacle of Moses in a city called Gibeah. David's got the ark with him in Jerusalem. Now, guys, that ark was in this tent for 40 years. Because remember, God gave David the vision for how to build the temple, the permanent home, in essence, for God. How many know God's already got a permanent home in heaven? But David wanted to build him a house, and God says, okay, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to let your son do it. So at least for 33 and a half years, while he's in Jerusalem, actually, for 33 and a half years, or it's 33 years, the tent's holding the ark until it went in to the temple. King David, a worshiper after God's heart, Kevin Connor shared these words. The tabernacle was simply a tent pitched in Jerusalem in a place called Mount Zion. It represents the presence of God to us today. The people of God who worship God are considered spiritual Zion. The tabernacle, it was there until the erection of the Temple of Solomon, could not be compared with the tent or the temple or the tabernacle of Moses. It couldn't be compared, but it was simply a tent. It was supposed to be transitional. It was temporary. It wasn't the ultimate structure. But God loved living there. David loved God more than his own interests. Now, this message is our fifth in the life of David. The second in this being David, the man after God's presence. He honored God. Did he do it perfectly? No. But he had a heart that repented when he sinned. Anybody in this room ever sin?
Yeah.
All right, turn to each other and say, stop that. But we all need Jesus. That's why we're here.
That's right.
We all need him. We need his presence. And David would repent. I think the reason he was the man after God's own heart mostly was because God saw his heart of repentance and honored it because David, no matter what happened, wanted the Lord. All right, number one, let's learn some lessons from all of this. God is here. Say that with me. God is here. David wanted to bring God to his home, to build him a home. And each of us, personalizing it, need to welcome God into the home of our hearts. Someone say amen. God has created us. He made us. If you're sitting there this morning saying, I don't know that I need God, let me ask you a question. Who made you? Who created you? Anybody ever have trouble with a car? There's a thing in the glove compartment called an owner's manual. And this right here is called an Bible owner's manual. And God says, I made you. I know how to lead you. But we do our own thing. We walk our own way. And God says, do this, don't do that. And we go, oh, can I please have the option in the middle? And God says, there isn't an option in the middle. Okay, I'm choosing the option in the middle. God says, there isn't an option in the middle. And we wonder why we have trouble. But God says, choose A and I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. Just like he did this morning. So we say, okay, Lord, I want you. Have you prepared a place for God to dwell in the tent of your heart? Church, guess what? That's why we're here on Sunday mornings together to encourage each other. How's your tent looking today? Good. By the grace of God. When your important guests come over, what do? Clean up. You prepare your home, you make it ready, you get the right food, you straighten up the place, put clean sheets on the bed, and you purchase the food for the meal, you set up the plans. Remember, Jesus is walking by, and he looks up in a tree, and remember who he saw? Who did he see? Zacchaeus. And what did he say? I'm coming to your house today. And Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, my wife's going to kill me. I didn't clean the place up. I'm coming to your house today. When Jesus comes to you and to me and he says, you know, I've been telling you to get ready. Are you ready? I'm coming to your house today. And thank God, if you surrender to him, he's already there.
That's right.
Swept, it's clean, created preciously, clean before him by his blood and grace. Because we create a home for him. God is here. Number two, it's time to worship. Somebody say, it's time to worship. Matthew 18, verse 20. Read it out loud with me, please. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The only furniture in the tent of David was the ark. That's where he was. They had choirs. They had singing, dancing, rejoicing. We're going to go through that a little bit this morning. Simple message this morning. But they had all that stuff just because God says, this is a party and I love it. This is where I want to be. How many of you in this room have grandkids? Come on, let's see the show of hands. You have grandkids. How many like your grandkids? I don't answer that. How many always like your grandkids? Oh, don't answer that either. All right, but when they're little, especially, because they're sophisticated when they grow up, but don't you love it when they're little? Oh, Grandpa, Grandma! And they throw their arms around you, and you wish you were half the person they think you are. But isn't that what it's like with the Lord? We come in and we say, God, Daddy, I didn't want to stay away from church this morning. I wanted to come be in your house. Oh, man, I'm just so excited to see you. I thank you. Oh, God. You know, you turn to somebody who says, I don't want to go to church. Say, come on, what's wrong with you? We got to go to church.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that more and more activities throughout our society keep you away from church? And we wonder why our nation is no longer happy. Or joyous, and sometimes not blessed, because people don't know much about the Lord anymore. Gosh, I don't want to get lost in this, but we were just, some of you who are reading through the Bible in a year, there's a section of scripture. Remember when the Babylonian kings came in and took the people out of Israel into Babylonian captivity? This is part of the history, but remember what happened? They replaced some of the people of Israel. They displaced them. They took them to Babylon. And they took some of Babylon and brought it into Israel. You remember what they said? The people there are getting attacked by lions and bears because they don't know how to worship the God of the land. We're having problems in America, church, with lions and bears and demonic problems because the people of the land don't know how to worship the Lord. So let's do our part to teach them how. Amen? All right, it's time to worship. So David learned, remember the second time he learns how to bear the ark on the shoulders of the priests. And David just wanted to be with him and have him the center of his city. David moves the ark into Jerusalem because not only is it the city of politics, it's the city of the presence of God, their religious center, their home for God. Remember, David wasn't a priest and he danced before the Lord and God received him as king and priest. All a picture of the New Testament. What does the Lord call us in the New Testament? Kings and priests to our God. And there's praise and singing and clapping and joyous times of celebration, welcoming to God's house. One man said, when the ark of God was brought to Mount Zion, it was placed inside the tent or the tabernacle that had been erected for it according to David's instructions. Then David appointed a man named Asaph to direct a skilled corps of priestly musicians and singers as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Their music was considered a form of prophecy. We heard a song of the Lord this morning. We heard prophecies, tongues, and interpretation. How many want to continue to welcome God to move by His Spirit? Oh God, we want the moving of Your Spirit. And you know, some people don't like that. We pray You'll soften and touch their hearts. But Lord, we're here for You most of all. And we want to hear from You because we need to hear from You. Worship was to be offered continuously, morning and evening, in David's tent. Let's talk about the worship in David's tent. Now, I'm going to do something a little different. You're in 1 Chronicles 16. Everybody say, good morning.
Good morning.
Turn to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And I'm going to do a bunch of these parts up here. You won't be able to follow it all, but 1 Chronicles 16, I want you to see it there because I want you to be able to refer back to it later. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 4 is a powerful section of scripture on the worship and what were they called to do in David's tent or in the house of the Lord if you were where the ark of God's presence was. Verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites, say it with me, to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise. You've already got four things right in this one verse to praise the Lord, God of Israel. So they're ministering. There's commemoration of the Lord. There's thanking the Lord and praising God. Have we done those things here this morning? That's what we're called to do. Now go down to verse 7. And I'm going to highlight verses 7 through 43 about the instructions God's given us of how to worship. Watch what they did and let's be instructed. Verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. On that day, David first delivered this psalm under the hand of Asaph and to his brethren. Say it with me. To thank the Lord. Can you lift up your hands this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for being so great? Next verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Do you think this is biblical? Give thanks to the Lord. And it says, call upon His name. Yoo-hoo! Jesus, I need You. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds. That means you're talking, you're vocal, you're out loud. You know, people can look at each other all they want and say, man, they are loud in that church. Thank God for these kinds of scriptures. Vocal. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. They're talking Him up. You go to the book of Malachi and the Bible says, the Lord keeps a remembrance, writes down in a book of remembrance because He's listened to people talking about Him. Are you making known His deeds among the people? Are you talking Him up? Are you talking about Him? What? That's worship. Sing to Him. Make known His deeds among the people. Verse 9, sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice. Are you happy this morning? Hopefully there's rejoicing in your heart. Who seek the Lord. The scripture, verse 11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek Him. Seek His face forevermore. There's effort. There's energy. As they tell things of the world to go to the side. Things that distract. Turn aside. I've come here to seek the Lord. He's the one I want. He owns me. I've come to give Him praise. Remember when the Lord would heal somebody of leprosy. Remember there were 10 healed? How many turned around to give Him praise?
One.
Let's at least be that one, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I thank You for healing me. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Lord, thanks for delivering me from sin, just like Pastor Sherry was talking about this morning. And he goes on to say, give the Lord the glory and strength, the glory to his name, bring an offering. Right over here, the wooden boxes, we don't pass a plate, but you can bring an offering to the Lord as an act of worship. That is, by the way, in this church, many people have said to me, where do I give? You guys don't take up an offering. That's because we don't believe in taking up offerings. We believe you give as an act of worship, and the boxes are there for you. Others may do that, no problem. That's simply our practice before the Lord. So bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 30, what does it say? Verse 30. Tremble before him, right there. Tremble before him. All right? You're right on, Pat. You're doing great. It's right there. You already got it up. You're doing great. Tremble before him. And then verse 31, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. I want you to say that with me. The Lord reigns. How many know it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says? Doesn't matter what anybody else says? Say it with me again. The Lord reigns. Let the sea roar. You hear anything about volume in these scriptures? Something about letting it out, letting your voice out, letting the declaration take place. Let the sea roar, all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Blessed be the Lord, verse 36, the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said,
amen.
Say it again. And all the people said, and praised the Lord. Verse 37, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly as every day's work required. Now you'll see he set up people and priests to continue over at the tabernacle of Moses to do the sanctuary or to do the offerings and the priesthood serve. But here he had 24-hour-a-day worship before the Ark of God's presence. The most important work they could do every day is to worship, to praise, to thank, to remember God for the great work he has done. That's the first order of business. Turn to each other and say, that's first. How long, point four, did it last? How long did it last? Well, church, this goes on for 40 years. Solomon builds the temple. The ark is moved into the temple. Life happens. You recall the scriptures, the king starts well. But we know Solomon's heart turned away. Provision, pride, sexual sin after sexual sin. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life, provision, money, sex, popularity. The things that trip up anybody and everybody all over the place. And his heart is turned away. And then, when a heart turns away, if there's no repentance, you begin to replace the worship of God with other things. And Solomon began to replace the worship of God with other gods. We know the history. Israel's 10 tribes are removed eventually. Then finally Judah is taken to Babylonian captivity. And guess what? We don't know what happened to the ark, that which represented God's presence. Some say Josiah buried it and wrapped it up, and it's underneath the temple where it stood. It's one of the reasons some say that when Israel got close to finding a new place underneath the Temple Mount, that they stopped them. Israel's government stopped them from proceeding further. Some say it was taken off to Ethiopia. Some say it was destroyed. The presence of God is no longer there just in a box. It's not what we're talking about anyway. God's interested in your heart and in mine. And if we're carried off into captivity, from that place of captivity, we need to say, Jesus, I repent. I turn away from any distraction because I want my tent to be full of your ark, your presence. I want you, Lord, more than anything. Recall, David was promised an heir on the throne as long as they walked with the Lord. And Jesus is in the lineage and line of the lion of the tribe of Judah and brings restoration, hope, and forgiveness. Come on, somebody say, thank God. Jesus brings forgiveness. Jesus who himself lifts his voice above the brethren, the Bible says, in the voice of praise. And he lives in the presence of worshipers even now. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost and the early church is birthed. And remember, I'm going to just finish in a couple more minutes. Remember, the early church being birthed was birthed as a movement among Jewish believers. Remember? And Paul gets saved. And Peter goes to the house of Cornelius and he preaches. The first Gentile convert comes from there. You could go a little earlier in the scripture to Philip leading the Ethiopian to the Lord. But the first preaching and leading the household was the household of Cornelius by Peter. And then Paul gets saved. And Paul gets sent to the Gentiles. And multitudes of people get saved and filled with the Spirit. And man, they're worshiping God and love Him. Remember who came in to spoil the victory? The Judaizers. And remember what they said? They said, we don't like your victory. We don't like what you're doing. We've got the God corner on the market. And that means, remember what they said? What they really said was, you Christians, Gentiles, have to become Jewish first, be circumcised, and then you can believe in Jesus and be what we call Christians. And it's such a dispute that they gather together in Acts chapter 15 to convene about this matter because they're scattering the believers and they're hurting the church. And these guys get together to seek the Lord. And the believers stand up in Peter and Paul. And Peter says, watch what it says, Acts 15, 7 through 12. There had been much dispute. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Are you all awake here this morning?
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. And so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. You don't have a corner on the God market. And made no distinction between us and them. Do you realize how much that flew in the face of the Jews? Just as He did to us. He gave them the Holy Ghost. Just as He did to us. Made no distinction between us and them. Purifying their hearts by what? By faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Read out loud verse 11, would you please, with me? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Now let me just point out a subtlety here and we will go on. But Peter is putting the Gentiles before the Jews. We believe we'll be saved just like they are then. This man knew how to stand up and confront it, didn't he? Then all the multitude kept silent. I'll bet. And listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And then James concludes the whole matter. James, a leader of the church at that time in Jerusalem, after they had become silent, James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. The words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Now hold on to your seats, and I want you to read this part with me. After this, I will return. What does it say? And come on, out loud, real loud. And will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up. So the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things, known to God from eternity are all His works. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. And He gives instructions not to eat things that are dedicated to idols and don't eat the things that the blood is still in because the life is in the blood and stop being involved in sexual immorality. And there's a whole lot of teaching that goes along with this. But do you see the heart of God here? What does He want? The tabernacle of David restored. The place where He could be worshipped and love living with His people. He wants to be in the tabernacle of David. Now, you can extrapolate that further to talking about Israel being restored to the glory of the days of David and all of that. But God says He will rebuild the tabernacle of David. So my question to you this morning as we come to a close. How's the tent of your heart? Do other things come first? Have you let anything else get in the way this morning? Or this week? Has something else stepped in and said, I want your attention? Because the enemy gives lots of room for lots of distractions. Come on, anybody besides me say, ouch and oh my. Ouch and oh my. Lord, you know what I'm going to do? Right now this morning, I dedicate myself to you and I'm sweeping out the tent and I'm opening the doors. And I see, I'm dusting off the ark. I won't look inside. No. I'm dusting it off. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Where I want to be a man of your presence. A woman of your presence. Just like David. I may not understand all there is to know in life. I may not know what's going to happen next in America or in my own life. But as for me and my house, one thing I know. Say it with me. We will serve the Lord. Stand with me, would you please? If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you, it's a command of the Lord, I urge and invite you, come give your life to Jesus. He loves you so much. If you need a freer release in the Holy Spirit in your life, there'll be a team of people here to pray for you. I know, Bill, you're welcome to come up and others join in. If you need healing in your body, there'll be those who are here to pray for you. But especially, I pray as you go out this week, you'll go out with the joy of the Lord as your strength, making sure that the tent is wide open for worship in your life. Amen? Amen? Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you that you are the God who does all things well. Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. And as we leave this place, we go, Lord Jesus, dedicating ourselves more to you than ever before to being the worshipers you want us to be. We repent. We turn aside from every distraction, from every sin that easily besets. We turn aside from it, Lord. We receive your forgiveness by faith, and we go out of this place with the joy of the Lord as our strength this morning, knowing how good you are. And greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, and they all said,
Amen.
Would you raise your hands, please, to receive the blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, worshipers. Amen.